This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very rainy afternoon to you. This is Frida Liu together with
Audrey Raj.
Audrey Raj is not with me in the studio. She's reporting from home. I'm looking at her through a webcam and she can only see half my face. And I have to apologize, Audrey, for being short.
Not at all, Peter.
Much as I tried to adjust the camera. Today, we're talking about unethical practices, right? And so the question that we have is, have you come across any unethical practice in your line of work? If so, did you do anything about it? There is a poll happening. Twitter, Instagram, also let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So interesting, and we'd just love to hear your thoughts about it. So more parties have begun to speak out against highly prejudicial clauses in requests for proposals or RFPs, tenders or pitches that explicitly demand automatic ownership of agencies' intellectual property, regardless if they subsequently win the job. We discuss the reasons why these clauses are being called unethical and how all parties can safeguard their rights. And if there's a win-win situation, win-win in this situation.
Yeah. So the reason why we're covering this because earlier this year, there was an interesting piece in Campaign Brief Asia that caught our eye. And this was on how the Association of Accredited Advertising Agents Malaysia, or 4As as they're better known, was criticizing a demand by the East Coast Economic Region Development Council, or ECERDC, for the automatic ownership and retention of agencies' intellectual property. Mm. So the ECERDC had issued an ITB for the appointment of a creative agency of record. Now, the ITB is a set of terms and conditions requiring all participating agencies to comply with, regardless of whether the agency is subsequently successful or otherwise. And in this ITB document contained a copyright clause that reads as follows. Copyright in all reports/documents, plans, designs, drawings, and works prepared by the bidder pursuant to this ITB document shall be the property of ECERDC, and ECERDC may use them in any manner ECERDC wishes.
Right. Okay. Now, Khairuddin Rahim, CEO of the Association of Accredited Advertising Agents Malaysia, spoke out against this clause, saying his body viewed the clause as an unethical demand by ECERDC for the automatic ownership and retention of intellectual property described in agencies' proposals, regardless of whether the agencies are selected or not. He said all ideas, concepts, strategies, trademarks, materials that an advertising agency presents or provides to an advertiser in an ITB or tender are provided for the sole purpose of allowing the advertiser to determine whether to engage the agency's ongoing services. Khairuddin also revealed that on at least three occasions, the 4As requested via correspondence that ECERDC remove clause 13.1 from their tender documents directed at advertising agencies.
And in a written response to the 4As, the ECERDC's tender secretary stated that the intent of the clause was not for the work submitted by unsuccessful bidders to merely be kept by the company, but it was actually to hold on to it for report and audit purposes. But, you know, despite the clarification, there was no confirmation that the offending clause would be removed as the 4As requested repeatedly.
Right. And so Khairuddin at that time was very vocal about the clause being removed. He said clause 13.1 is oppressive and highly prejudicial to agencies who are unsuccessful, as it would not in any future bid or project rely on their intellectual property rights. This clause is not even remotely connected to the tender secretary's stated intention of wanting to retain the unsuccessful bidder's work for report and audit purposes only. The 4As then again requested that ECERDC remove the clause to eliminate any misinterpretation or wrong perceptions of ECERDC's goodwill and reputation. He said there is no room for imprecise documentation and catch-all terminology in any modern and fiscally responsible tender. The inclusion of clause 13.1 by the ECERDC is especially disappointing given the 4As repeated calls for advertisers, including government-linked bodies, to remove unfair and unethical intellectual property retention clauses from procurement documents. It is tantamount to a demand for free ideas contradicting core business principles and global norms of business dealings.
Yeah, so the 4A's advice to agencies is to not participate in tenders and pitches which contain similar clauses, because this was just one case with the ECERDC. And if I'm not mistaken, this is already sorted between both parties or all parties involved. But what the 4A's recommends is that agencies retain ownership of all ideas, plans and work products unless the advertiser is prepared to pay the agency fairly for those rights. The association added that it is always ready to provide assistance and have developed a best practice guide relating to ownership of agency developed IP, which is readily available on the 4A's website.
Right. So, okay, I used to work for a PR company, right? And one of the things that I think it still happens now, where your ideas get stolen. Right? You get ideas get stolen, you don't get the job, but the ideas get stolen. And that is like, they'll just tweak a little bit here and there, and then they'll say, no, it wasn't your idea. Okay, so that happens, you know, especially for something that's not tangible. But for something like this, right, to say I own it, and then you have no rights to it anymore, and you didn't get the job.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so it's- right lah.
Yeah, definitely not cool. So it's very unfair to the creatives who've had to come up with this. And then it's basically, we come up with this and we pitch and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone for good, right? And also, I guess it happening in this point in time, you know, during the pandemic over the last 2 years or so, you may have agencies that are really at make or break and they need this, you know. And so they could be in some form of a desperate situation and they might be inclined to pitch for a contract that has this clause contained in it, right? But, you know, I firmly believe that if you want an idea, you want the rights to the IP, then you should have to pay for it, just like Khairuddin recommends. And we were speaking to him after the break. So, you know, we'll get his thoughts on that. But also, there needs to be clear guidelines to protecting your IP rights in all these contracts moving forward.
Right. So we also like to know what you think about this. Let us know via Twitter and Instagram. That's at BFM Radio. Have you come across any unethical practices in your line of work? If so, did you do anything about it? Let us know at BFM Radio, also over WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And we'll be speaking to Khairuddin Rahim after this. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. If you've just joined us, this is Frida Liu together with Audrey Raj, listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. We're asking the question today, have you come across any unethical practices in your line of work? Let us know via Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio and WhatsApp 018-789-8899. The results at the moment on Twitter is yes, did something at 25.5%. Yes, couldn't do anything at 45.5%. That's quite a high number. No, would try if I did, right? No, what's the point? 16.4%.
Right. Over on Instagram, it's a bit lopsided. 89% who say yes and 11% who say no. They've not come across any unethical practices in their line of work. We do have one message here, and this is from Victor Raj, who says, yes, did nothing because the rich and powerful people are not kept accountable.
Okay. Now, we're talking about this today because there have been complaints of highly prejudicial clauses in tenders or pitches that explicitly demands automatic ownership of agencies' intellectual property, regardless of whether the agency is subsequently successful in winning the job. CEO of 4A's Malaysia, Khairuddin Rahim, has been very vocal about this subject as he seeks to protect members of the Association of Accredited Advertising Agents Malaysia and the wider advertising and creative community from being taken for a ride. So we have Khairuddin here. So I'm sure he's got plenty to talk about. Khairuddin, give us some background into this issue and why you feel this is something we should speak up about.
Yes, one of the reasons why the 4A's exist is we actually promote good practices. But when necessary, we have to speak out where we see bad practices and value-destroying behavior. And we believe what you just touched on is a current example of what we consider to be bad practice. And this is occurring from advertisers who, in a request for performance or a tender, or commonly referred in our industry as a pitch, in their terms and conditions, they have explicitly mentioned a clause that essentially says whatever ideas the advertising agency presents in order to try and secure business from the advertiser they own, yeah, irrespective of whether the agency is successful or not. Okay, so at the heart of that is this, I would call it abuse of a dominant position of the advertiser with parties who are very keen to secure business from the advertiser. So let me give two or three examples of the types of clauses that has been appearing for the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years. For example, the advertiser shall reserve the right to customize and use the idea from the submitted proposal by the proposer with other proposals submitted by the other proposers in exploring its business options. Another example, all submissions for the RFP is not returnable and shall become the property of the client. And third and final example, copyrights in all reports, documents, plans, design drawings, and work prepared by the bidder pursuant to this invitation to bid document shall be the property of the advertiser, and the advertiser may use them in any manner it wishes. So it's all constructed with different words, but same intention. In other words, if you're interested to bid for our business in a pitch, be prepared to give up ownership as a condition. Otherwise, you withdraw. Yeah. So that's a very heavy-handed stance, in our opinion, because what it shows is the sincerity or lack of the advertiser in establishing an ongoing relations with the creative industry. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying it happens to all advertisers, but the trend has been noticed over the last 4 years or so. We received reports from our members. By the way, we have 50 over creative agencies who we represent of all shapes and sizes, both Malaysian and multinational companies, telling us that, you know, this is you know, very unusual behavior, to put it mildly, but we call it unethical. Yeah,
right.
Because, you know, when you ask someone to propose solutions for your brand, you know, through a creative pitch, the ideas that we develop are customized for your problem. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, an idea is a very powerful business weapon, you know. If it's a strong idea, it can transform the company and the brand. And when we participate in a speculative pitch, it is for the sole purpose of allowing the advertiser to determine whether to engage the agency's ongoing services or not. So it becomes a surrender. They are asking us to surrender your intellectual property, your great ideas, and we will pick and choose whether we want you. But if we don't want you, we can still take your ideas and, you know, mix it together with other agencies' ideas that we think is good, and we'll have a happy, pasang bola. So that's what's been happening.
Yeah, pasumbo or rojak, right? I mean, it's funny, right? You take ideas from several people, and then after that, you know, you probably give the project to someone to do it, but the ideas didn't come from you. So, Karadin, this is very clearly unfair to those pitching their ideas. Is there a type of advertiser, company, or specific industries that you've noticed make these demands more commonly?
Yes, without exception. They are all government-linked companies. So I think that there must be some inherent belief amongst the GLCs and the government-linked investment companies that this is proper conduct. And I don't know where that's coming from. We have not seen any of the similar requirements from non-government-linked companies. So in other words, the private companies and all other businesses, you know, in my many years of being in this industry, I've never seen this before until the last 4 to 5 years. This I would call it a creeping trend of saying, we want to own whatever you present to us. If not, don't bother to participate in the tender or the pitch.
Now, Kairuddin, could this be a legacy issue? You know, because a clause maybe like a clause that was inserted in old proposals that were recycled or passed down, or maybe even used as a template for new projects, you know, because that happens sometimes, right? You know, referring to old documents to create new RFPs.
I originally thought it was, but like the three examples I gave you, they're constructed entirely differently by different people and different, you know, company representatives. So it cannot be just a hand-me-down. But I think the inherent desire to say, you know, we're the big advertiser, so we can do what we like.
Right.
It's what's telling. That's the common sentiment I gather from these companies. Now, once again, I repeat, it's not across the board. Yeah? But let me tell you that in just the last 4 years, we have a total of 8 examples. And the most recent one is literally 5 weeks ago.
So now
it's coming out in all kinds of places, like in that world of government-linked companies, unfortunately.
Right. Khairuddin, what's in it for the advertiser company to keep this clause in place? You know, other than just having a flurry of ideas to pick and choose and work with in their pasambor, is there any other reason to keep this clause in place?
I think they want to be unhindered in future when they decide to do mashups. I think that's essentially because you know, the other thing about ideas is, you know, people can always say, "Oh, we already heard about that idea in the past," so you can't say it's yours. So this is where it comes down to the whole issue about copyright and what is IP and what is not IP. You know, but you see, you can quarrel till the cows come home with whose idea it is or where it came from. But what is telling is the characteristic of the advertiser in already wanting to identify that as a pre-requirement to enter the pitch. That doesn't reflect well on the company, because when they go out and do their own bidding, because let's face it, you know, companies also supply to other companies. You know? Right. And I'm sure they too have their own intellectual property, right? I mean, if you're manufacturing something or you are, you know, you're involved in business, at some point or another, you know, you also sell your work to other companies. And they would certainly themselves get upset if the similar type of clauses was introduced onto them.
Right.
Yeah. But yet, for advertising agencies, is considered to be kosher, like, can do it. You know? So there's a big anomaly here. Like, and I'm very disturbed, because half of them, after we pointed out diplomatically, you know, in repeated conversations and correspondence, pointing out that, please, could you not do that? Because it is tantamount to you wanting ideas for free. Could you kindly remove that clause? We don't get any acknowledgement even. So it's almost like, you know, deadpan silence. So the matter is still hanging. But to the credit of the other 50%, they realized after we explained, you know, and they wrote back and said, we understand, we agree with you, we're removing it. So to the credit of half of them, you know, they saw the light. But the other half, no. And actually, we have made public statements in the press, in the business press, about this. And I'm sure they too have read, you know, the statement. It's not only once, it's about three times, about saying this is wrong, you know, it's not ethical, it's not right. But yet they continue. So we're almost at our wits' end in trying to say that's not a good reflection on Malaysian government-linked companies. Like, I mean, would you dare do that if you were to ask foreign bidders?
Right.
You know, how does that reflect upon our country and our corporate reputation, you know, as a fair country to do business in? You won't get away with this in foreign countries, I assure you.
Right. Khairuddin, do stay on the line. Of course, we're talking to Khairuddin Rahim, the president, the CEO of the Association of Accredited Advertising Agents Malaysia. We're talking about unethical practices in your line of work, and we'll continue our conversation after this. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Boring, fake, macho. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm here together with
Audrey Raj.
Okay. I just want to make sure she's paying attention. Today we're asking is, have you come across any unethical practices in your line of work? If so, could you or did you do anything about it? So let us know via the poll that's happening on Twitter and Instagram. That's at BFM Radio. We've got also a couple comments on WhatsApp, which we'll get to a little later. But yes, 018-789-8899. We've got the CEO of 4A's Malaysia, Khairuddin Rahim, here, talking about this and being very vocal about it. And I guess representing over 50 agencies. And of course, we've still got more questions for him. So, Khairuddin, what has 4A's been advising its members and agencies to do when faced with demands like this in RFPs?
It's easy for us to say, but essentially our advice to agencies is to not participate in any pitches that contain similar clauses. The agencies, by right, should retain ownership of all ideas, plans, and work, unless the advertiser is prepared to pay the agency fairly for the rights. I mean, that's commercial business, right? So this type of unethical advertiser demand reflects poorly on the reputation of the advertiser's company and Malaysia as a destination for foreign direct investment. So I think they're relying... These advertisers are relying on desperate advertising agencies,
right,
especially during these times, who are starved for business and are willing to just surrender. The sad thing is, if you do agree and you do participate and surrender, it's no longer yours, right? And you are no longer able to use your own intellectual property in other future bids. That the solution may be equally applicable. It's like giving up, not just present, but the future as well. So it is a huge disadvantage to our members, advertising agencies, to do so. So our advice is don't participate, but easier said than done, because in the end, it comes back to the each individual agency boss and how hungry are they. So in a way, it's the advertiser taking advantage of this situation. We can go up to that point of advising,
Right.
It's still a business that they run. And we can go up to the point of also informing the advertisers what you are doing is not right,
Right.
But we can't go beyond that now, because in the end, the argument will be it's a willing seller, willing buyer situation. If I want to do this as a condition and your advertising agency member agrees, buzz off. Right. I mean, that's the simplest way of the attitude they're taking.
Right.
Now, Khairuddin, is there a way for the advertiser to own, for future use, any particular pitch idea or execution produced by an agency that was not chosen in the speculative pitch, besides choosing to buy it outright?
I'm so glad you asked that question. Yes. We have actually published a document, a guide, on called an ownership of agency ideas during a pitch. It's available for download on our website. And in there, it explains the various methods of an advertiser saying, I acknowledge that, I like a certain idea or I like a certain script. And here are some methods in how you can seek ownership on a willing buyer, willing seller basis with the advertising agency. Of course, it involves compensation, but there are methods to that. I mean, it's not saying that you have to take outright every single thing. So you cherry pick and you negotiate the purchase of the idea if the agency wants to sell it. That's still a back to willing buyer, willing seller. That's the proper way of doing it, not the upstream demand of saying, take it or leave it, this is what we want. You come in, we own everything. It's like you enter a song contest, a song writing competition, right? And the TV station says, whatever song you submit, you know, we own it outright. I think they will get a ton of bricks landing on their heads, you know, if they do that to the music composers in Malaysia or any other country in the world.
Right.
It's a similar thing, you know, because we're all in the creative industry. We all rely on our intellectual property, our capability to create. Mm. That's a service we perform that obviously the advertiser can't. That's why they come to us. At the same time, you know, they're doing this unfair demand. You know? So that's really the beef that we have right now with some of the companies. We continue to engage with them. We keep on saying, but you know, those who chose to stonewall us, you know, continue stonewalling. So there may be a time when it's necessary to raise this directly with the board members of the company themselves, you know, who I'm sure they would be also surprised at this conduct, you know. And these are big names, yeah. I'm not talking about unknown names. These are big names in our industry, I mean, in the Malaysia. And perhaps even the CEOs of these DLCs are not aware that you know, there's certain bad practices going on. So it's a question of when the time forces us to do so, then we may have to go public with who these people are. Right. But we hope not to, you know, because we hope things can be settled through proper civil discourse.
All right. So no name and shame, Khairuddin. So the win-win for all parties is laid out in the guidelines on the 4A's website. Yeah.
It's there. It starts off with a very simple premise. Please recognize that the thing that you want is owned by the author called the advertising agency. So when you want something that someone else owns, there has to be some compensation, isn't it? I mean, it's a fact of life, not like I want it for free. So that's what the guidelines are there for. It's really available on the website for anybody who wishes to download. It explains everything, including the terminology to be used and all that. Yeah? Mm, right. And mind you, that guide that we prepared is not written in isolation. It's written in consultation with other similar advertising agency associations in Europe, in America, in UK, because they too have the same guides. Because it's a norm over there. Over there, it's a norm. Whenever there's a pitch, nobody uses those kind of clauses that I mentioned.
Right.
But there are many instances where the advertiser is interested in a particular aspect of the proposal that they think, hey, that is a very nice thing for us to actually adopt. May we just adopt that, even though you are not successful, but can we cherry pick that? And can we talk and negotiate? I mean, that's fair. That's really fair.
Right. Any final words on this, Khairuddin, before we let you go?
No, apart from that, I just wanted to say to anybody who knows about the 4A's, this year happens to be our 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. So it just underscores the fact that we've been serving the industry since 1971, and over 50 members have benefited. We actually have lots of good benefits, which I won't go into, but essentially we set standards and we help the advertising industry achieve those through many means of enablers that we provide.
All right. Congrats on the big 50, you know, even lightning and thunder happened, right? And of course, that was the CEO of 4A's Malaysia, Khairuddin Rahim. Just wondering what's happening over on Instagram. I'll go through the Twitter results and also a couple of comments on WhatsApp. But what's happening on Instagram?
Right. So over on Instagram, have you come across any unethical practices in your line of work? We have 92% who say yes, 8% voted no. And, you know, interestingly, I think everyone's voting but not telling us what the incident was or not really sharing the whys or if they tried to do anything with it. But I did get some personal messages coming in via WhatsApp, all, of course, wanting to remain anonymous. They say this even happens in the media industry, in the radio industry, apparently. That was from one person who chooses to remain anonymous. And we have another one who says that this is actually quite prevalent, even with big corporates, big names, big companies. It happens all over, apparently.
Right. You know, and I... Okay, never mind. I'm going to talk so much. This is from a comment from 5220. It says, so we're talking about our rights to advertising pictures, but here's the harsh reality. If you kick up too much of a fuss, they'll not invite you for pictures anymore and be labeled as a troublemaker. Then what? Damned if you do or damned if you don't. I think in Malaysia, people don't see creative work as real work, like, say, an engineer, architect, and that has to change. I have been to countless pitches where some we won and the client takes out another page, which was obviously for another party, and say, can you also add this in or change it a bit to look more like this part? Any advertising industry person will tell you, if you got a pitch tomorrow morning, you aren't going to sleep early tonight. So a lot of work goes into our pitches. It's also man hour too, which no doubt about that. We've got a comment here from Kim. It says, to take ownership or use pitch ideas without paying the creator is intellectual property robbery. This seems like a norm in the Malaysian culture. Top down, there's a lack of respect for creativity. Even individuals have a tendency to use other people's photos or images without consent, or copy other people's blog posts and repost on their own. This is not an Instagram repost. We need more awareness about IP. She mentions an online shop stealing designers' work, and consumers are buying them, probably knowing deep down that it is stolen art. We've got here one from Maggie. She says, to steal ideas presented during sales pitches is simply daylight robbery. But not so clear-cut case would be ideas put up by interns under training companies. So maybe the Labour Ministry, Human Resource Development and Department in charge of patents should sit down and look into to protecting interns. After all, when a freshie gets well in the early days of his or her venture in the business, they tend to refrain being innovative later on in their careers. Such are the repercussions of unethical and unscrupulous business practice. I forgot about the interns, right? Poor Daniel. He's an intern working. We've been stealing his ideas left, right and center. A comment here from May. So I use a freelance lots with agencies, and this particular issue have been going on for the longest time, in the 80s and 90s. I know, during my parents' days in agencies, in this particular case, in this particular issue, I think it's pure arrogance and cowardly chivalry, in air quotes, a total lack of sportsmanship, if I may say so. Ideas are meant to be shared and improved, not just take it and use, even if the pitch didn't work out. And yes, I've been through it before, and yet nothing much could be done about it, sadly. But, you know, I think this is where the likes of, you know, Khairuddin speaking up on behalf of a group of people. I mean, we do have to speak up, right? I think that's keep the conversation going, not say, but that's the way it is, and not try to make any changes. Yeah. So, yeah, quick look at the final Twitter poll results, which it says, yes, did something at 24.6%. No, would try if I did at 12.3%. No, what's the point at 15.8%. And disappointing, yes, I couldn't do anything, right? And so, you know, hopefully by having this conversation and us all being a little bit braver, you know, to speak up. And I think unity, right, when we come together to talk about it as well. We've come to the end of Enterprise Biz Bites today. Do join us again tomorrow. And, you know, we've got another exciting story happening tomorrow, I am sure. Audrey Raj, get well soon.
Thank you.
And, you know, we'll catch up soon. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.